Hello, this is Rachi Lerner speaking with you today from OU Radio. Our topic for today is Elul Thoughts. This is part two in our series. And we've been looking at the entire idea of soul searching, of healing, and now talking about how to feel as we approach the High Holy Days. It's so interesting. We quoted this pasuk before in a different context, and I'd like to revisit this pasuk and see it somewhat differently in Sefer Tehillim. It's Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Zayin. What does it say there? It says, Ta'avat anavim shamata, Hashem. The desire of the humble you have heard, Hashem. Tachin libam, you prepare their hearts. Takshiv aznecha, may your ear be attentive. Hashem, you have heard the request of the lowly, of the humble. You prepare their heart, may your ear be attentive. Why does David assign God the task of preparing the hearts of those who seek him? Aren't we the ones who are supposed to prepare our hearts in order to seek God? Aren't we the ones who are supposed to be preparing body and soul in order to engage with God? Based on this phrase, the Talmud in Brachot 31 tells us that one who prays should direct his heart to heaven. Who is doing the directing and the preparing? I mean, after all, we're saying you prepare their heart, and here the Talmud says that we should direct our hearts toward heaven. So Rav Kook explains that there are two types of kavana, two types of directed focus in prayer. The first is when we attend to the meaning of the words and the concepts of our prayers. So we're paying very close attention to the words themselves and to the concepts that are contained within the tefillot, within the prayers. But the more advanced form of kavana, of directed focus, lies in our ability to sense Hashem and his infinitude. This is what the Talmud tells us, that we are to direct our hearts toward heaven. We are to be able to sense God and his infinitude, the infinity that is God. It is in our consciousness of the you, of the grandeur that is God, that we prepare our hearts and minds for prayer. What are we saying to Hashem? You prepare their heart, because when we begin to perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his greatness and his infinity and his grandeur and his omnipotence, that is when we truly have kavana. We truly can direct our focus. It is in the perception of the you that the heart gets prepared. That's why the Talmud tells us, prepare their hearts. At this time of Elul, we are really needing, in a sense, to re-engage and re-find God. We are needing to sing and find HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to search and find God in everything that is around us. That is exactly what we are searching for. We are looking to re-engage with God, to find our kavana, not just in the words and the concepts of our tefillot, but to find and locate the kavana that perceives and appreciates the grandeur of God himself, the ability to sense God and his infinity. David uses so much language that is multi-layered, multi-meaning, and understood on both figurative and literal levels. In Psalm 108, verse 2, David HaMelech says the following, Nachon libi Elokim ashira va'azamra af kivodi. My heart is steadfast, God, Elokim. I will sing and I will offer hymns. This too is my glory. What is the word for steadfast? Nachon. Nachon in Hebrew translates to correct or to prepared. What is David communicating through this word, the word nachon, which we translate as steadfast, but which can also mean correct and prepared? When a person is in sync with God, when his heart and his soul are correctly positioned to join with Hashem, then the outcome is song. Throughout the month of Elul, we are struggling to reconnect to God, to align our heart and our mind with him. Our disconnect from Hashem, which we feel through our profound sense of estrangement, through our abandonment feelings, leaves us very ill prepared to really walk into Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We are afraid, we are despondent. But when we are nachon, prepared, and we know that our hearts are on the correct path, nachon, correct, then we can be filled with a positive energy, and we can praise Hashem in song with all of our soul. Then our heart can be steadfast, for we know that we are with God steadfastly. we can face Elohim. Nachon libi Elohim. My heart is steadfast. Elohim. What is Elohim? Elohim is the God of stern justice, the judging God. When we are steadfast, when we are prepared, Mukhan, when we are on the correct path, Nachon, correct, then we can approach God with joy and we can sing to God. We can compose a hymn to Hashem. Because this sense of joyous commitment is our glory. That is what we are striving for throughout the month of Elul, to be in a place where we can approach God absolutely clearly and correctly without fear and with joy. And in order to get on the correct path, you and I both know sometimes to get on the correct path, you have to get off the wrong one. And that's one of the things that we know about quite well. David HaMelech in Tehillim Kuf Yotet in 119 Pasuk Chavtet, verse 29, says the following, Zerach sheker haser mimeni, v'toratcha chaneni. Remove from me a false path and favor me with your Torah. What is he saying? Well, he's saying there are two different ways to reach a destination. One way is to take the time and the effort to plot one's course, to go on MapQuest or MapList or Google Map and plot it out. Of course, today we have a time saver. We have the GPS that directs our course. But before the GPS, we'd have to map it out before we went. The other method to get to your destination is to aimlessly wander, taking wrong turns and then correcting for those wrong turns. David asked the following, Haser mimeni derech sheker, take away from me the false path. Take away from me the path that goes the wrong way. David is asking that God act as his navigator, that he keep him on the correct path and away from false ones. Not all false paths present as false paths. It's therefore very easy to take a detour, to become derailed. And it is precisely at those moments when we lack the acuity to discern what is a false path and what is a correct one, that we require additional assistance. Therefore, David asks that Hashem favor him with his Torah. What does it say here? B'toratcha chaneni. Favor me with your Torah, because the Torah keeps man on track. And that's exactly what we're asking from before. We need to know what path to follow. We ask God's assistance in keeping us from being derailed, from being put along a path that leads absolutely nowhere. In the days that precede the Yom Norim, the days of awe, it is extremely hard, even if we think we're on the right path, even if we keep encouraging ourselves, it is very difficult not to feel overwhelmed. In fact, when we look at the list of sins that we recite on Yom Kippur, the Al-Chet, it is very difficult to really feel that one has an opportunity to truly repent. There simply isn't enough time. If the recitation alone of the sins is fatiguing, how much harder is it to correct the distance, to fix what is broken, to fix our relationship with God? And David HaMelech gives voice to these feelings. And he says it so poignantly in Perek Samache in Psalm 65, verse 4. Divrei avonot gavru meni, pisha'enu ata techabrem. Talk of sin has overcome me. As for our transgressions, you will pardon them. Talk of sin has overcome me. When we are engaged in these moments before the Yom HaNorim, we have to hold on to our sanity. We have to hold on to our sense of self-worth, because when we look at and search and seek and see all the sins that have overwhelmed us, we can be totally overcome. As for our transgressions, you will pardon them. What is David saying? That when it comes to sinning and healing, God has to take up some of the slack. We have to allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu to shoulder part of the burden. We have to do our hishtadlut, our efforts, and then we have to let go and let God. We have to let God shoulder part of the burden. Our task is to come before God and to engage in this honest self-appraisal and repentance and then leave the rest to Him. This is a very positive approach, because what has David said? He says, Ata techabrem, you will pardon them. He's teaching us that God will hear us, He will listen, He will accept our tshuva, and He will pardon us. In Psalm 23, verse 4, David HaMelech makes a very unusual statement. He says, Gam ki elech b'geit salmavet lo irara ki atamadi. Though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear evil, for you are with me. Shivtecha u'mishantecha hema yenachamuni. Your rod and your staff comfort me. How is it that God's rod and God's staff are comforting to us? At this time of year, particularly when we are spending so much time looking at ourselves, stretching, trying to grow close and heal our connection with God, we need to know that God is paying attention to us, that we are not will-o'-the-wisps blowing in the wind. And the Da'as Sofrim explains that the rod refers to the punitive quality of Hashem's supervision. Hashem uses his rod when he chastises us, as a father would chastise a son. And the staff of Hashem, when we say Mishantecha, the staff of God, that refers to God's supportive arm that we lean upon as we would a staff. So we have these two elements. We have the rod, which is the punitive element, and we have the staff, which is the supportive element. We can readily understand how the staff of Hashem could give us comfort. When we lean on someone, we can easily see how that would be comforting. But how does Hashem's punishing rod take away our anxiety? And so this is an important psychological insight. It is critically important to people that they matter, particularly to those that they love. Children, for instance, desperately crave the attention of parents and will engage in attention-seeking behaviors to satisfy that need. Even a punishment is better than being ignored by a parent. A child who is being punished at least knows that his parents are aware of him and that they are sufficiently concerned to correct him. We Jews were no different. We need and we crave God's attention and engagement with us. We need to know that the world is not arbitrary and our lives are not purposeless. And with God at the wheel, we know this because when we err, Hashem's corrective actions come into play. Even though they may not be pleasant, this is God's rod. Hashem's love and concern for us expresses itself both in support and in censure. And his constant concern for us allows us to be anchored as we approach these days, the Yamim Noraim, the days of awe, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Hashem not only wants us to come to him, but he's on a search for us. He's searching for us to come closer and closer to him. The very thoughtful pasuk that David quotes in Perek Yudalit, in chapter 14, pasuk Yud, Hashem mishamay mishkif al bnei adam, Hashem from heaven gazed down on mankind, lirot hayesh maskil doresh et Elokim, to see if there exists a reflective person who seeks out God. Hashem from heaven gazed down on mankind to see if there exists a reflective person who seeks out God. God is looking for us. He's looking for the seeker of himself. He's looking to see the person who seeks God. And this verse teaches us a fundamental lesson that we have a mission in life. We exist to seek God. If we live a life devoid of the divine and we make ourselves the focus of the universe, we become self-serving, self-involved, self-absorbed. We do what benefits the self, but we don't do good per se. And what do we see? We see that in the very next verse. Hakol sar, everyone has gone astray. Yachdav ne'elachu, together they have become depraved. Ein oseh tov, ein gam echad. There is no doer of good. There is no one, not even one. In other words, when people fail to seek God, when there is no one who is Doresh et Elokim, there is nobody who is seeking God, goodness evaporates, goodness vanishes from the world. It is possible that the self-involved person will perform acts of kindness, but his motivation is not to do good as a matter of principle. He does what suits him, and if accidentally it benefits somebody else, then so be it. But the egocentric perspective of the person who's entirely self-focused leads, when taken to an extreme, to depravity. I do what I want, irrespective of whatever it costs me morally, or whatever the consequences are. What is God looking for, however? He's looking for the person, Hayesh Maskil, is there an intelligent person? Sort of reminds me of Spock, there's no intelligent life down here. He's looking for the intelligent person, the seeker of God, who makes Hashem his focal point. This is what is meant when we look at Micha, Perek Vav, Pasuk Chet. Higid lecha adam ma tov v'ma Hashem doresh mimcha. He has told you, O man, what is good and what God requires of you. Asot mishpat, do justice, ve'avat chesed, and love kindness, ve'hatzna lechet melokecha, and walk humbly with your God. We are meant to be God seekers, and this gives God pleasure. He seeks us who seek Him, and He meets us halfway. That is our gift from God. In Psalm Nun Aleph, Pasuk Yud Bet, the psalm in which, in 51:12, the psalm in which David HaMelech is repenting for the sin of Bathsheba, he makes a request of God that also speaks to this issue. He says the following, Lev tahor brali Elokim, create for me a pure heart, O God, v'ruach nachon chadesh b'kirbi, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Create for me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. What is meant by a pure heart? Rav Hirsch explains that this refers to a heart that is receptive to all that is good and pure. When we use this pure heart in conjunction with a steadfast spirit, we ask for a spirit that is constitutionally capable of distinguishing right from wrong. David is asking God to provide him with the spiritual fortitude and acumen to make good and true decisions. We say, Bra li Elokim, create for me a pure heart. The word create is linked with heart. And we say, V'ruach nachon chadesh b'kirbi, and a steadfast spirit renew within me. Create is linked with heart and renew with spirit. What distinguishes man from animal is not so much his intellect, but his capacity to exercise free will. Man can choose to do the right thing or the wrong one. The gift of tshuva is the creation of a new pure heart for the individual who has sinned and who wishes to return to God. When we do tshuva, Hashem gives us in place of our old stained heart a new pure heart. And what then follows is the renewal of man's spirit, which allows man to steadfastly keep to the good and the true path. We will continue with Elul Thoughts next week.